All right, let's give it up for the band leading us in worship. Even though I'm pre-recording this for you guys, I felt like I have to do that. It's like a robotic moment for me. And so we are doing something very different. On the way over here, I told Carrie that this is the new weird normal. And I feel like that's the best way to describe these times that we're in. And so we are preparing this message for you that are going to be watching this online. And we're going to continue our series. I've titled this message from the Jonah series, The Corona Well, okay? And so I think it's aptly titled at this juncture. And one of the things I believe about God's Word, because I've been doing this for so long, is that messages from God and His Word are almost, you could say, appointed. And so this message was supposed to be preached last week, but it got delayed. And then it was supposed to be, the scheduling of the message has changed a couple of times because I had flu A. And now here we are at this incredibly awkward moment in our country's history, and it got backed up to this very moment. And Carrie asked me this week, she's like, are you still going to preach Jonah? I was like, yeah, I'm going to preach Jonah. This is the message. I think she goes, well, how in the world is that going to relate? I was like, you'll see. And so I want to start off by telling you, number one, whenever we think about messages being appointed, Jesus in the early point or the portion of his ministry, Luke chapter 4 says that he walked into the temple and there was a portion of scripture that was read daily, and it happened to be that the time that he walked in, it was a prophetic word about him coming. And it's talking about when the Messiah comes, he would set the captives free. He would give vision to the blind. He would give relief to those that had been in prison. And it says that he walked up to the scroll. Tell me that that word wasn't appointed. How is it that that word was pre-picked out before he walked in the temple, but it was the exact right word that was the fulfillment of who he was? So that word was scheduled. It was on an appointed schedule, just like I believe that this word is going to be appointed tonight. And so for those of you that are in a place of concern, I want you to know that when it comes to the church that you're a part of, Genesis Metro, and maybe the church that you're a part of who are watching online, we need to understand something, that the church is not brittle. The church is bulletproof, it's battle-tested, and the church is actually meant for moments like this. We don't choose, we do not want moments like this for our culture, for our community, for our country, but at the same time, that light becomes much brighter as things grow darker in this world. And I think there are a lot of people right now that are looking for hope, and I think that this morning's message is going to give us a lot of hope today. So we're going to continue in our story of Jonah. Last week, the sailors were finding out that Jonah's rebellion had caused this great storm, and they're wondering, how do we get out of the storm? Oh, I can't find any relationship. And so he said, if you will throw me overboard, the storm will cease. And so we are going to be picking up the story as they are picking up Jonah. So it says in Jonah chapter 1, verse 15, then they picked up Jonah and threw him into the sea, and the sea stopped its raging. Now the Lord had appointed, there's that word again, a huge fish. We are going to call him a whale, but we don't know what kind of fish it was. We don't know if it was a special fish, the only fish that ever been like this, that a human being could stay in it for 3 days and 3 nights. We don't know. We don't have to know. If you think that this miracle's hard, try someone dying and then raising themselves on the third day. See, it's possible. And so Jonah was swallowed by this great fish, and it says that he was 3 days and three nights in the belly of this fish. You know, one of the things that I thought Jonah was thinking, that I found myself thinking since last Thursday when I went out on the water on a fishing trip on spring break with one of my good buddies who was on spring break as a teacher. We were out on the water and the world was normal when we went out that morning. And then by the time I got home, Carrie had called me like five times. She's like, what are this out? This out. And I was like, what? March Madness, what? NBA, what? Major League Baseball, what? who's got it? And the whole world had unraveled in 10 hours. And I kept asking myself from that moment when we were like, what are we going to do about Sunday? Are we going to close church? Close church? Why would we close? This has been a terrible crisis for me personally because of how I feel and what the churches should do and should be. And then you're trying to balance that out with what's responsible to our call. It's just very difficult making these decisions. And so the word and the phrase that I kept saying was, I can't believe this is happening. Has anybody else sitting in here, has anybody else that is watching this online, have you thought that? I can't believe this is happening. I want you to go with me in the mind of Jonah. As he's telling them that it's him, and he's telling them that you're going to have to pick me up and throw me into the sea. And then they pick him up, and they're walking him almost like a Pirates of the Caribbean movie. And they're carrying him to the edge of this boat, and then like they're throwing him. And I don't know if you've ever jumped off any kind of, you know, diving board or of a cliff or whatever. It's only like a split second that you're in the air, but when you're falling, it feels like forever. Anybody testify? Testify. Raise your hand if you're watching this online. You've ever had that feeling? And so Jonah's falling through the air, and I just imagine that he was thinking, I can't believe this is happening. I thought I was going to go to Tarshish. I thought I was going to do my own thing. And now I'm being dropped into the ocean. I wonder, as he's falling into the ocean, and then a fish comes up and swallows him, that God's word said was appointed. So it wasn't by accident that it happened. It was on purpose that it happened. And as he's being swallowed into this well, and he settles to wherever he settles into the belly of this fish, I'm just wondering if you could just hear God leaning in saying, do I have your attention now? I think that a lot of us, whenever we're going through these crises, that God is oftentimes saying, do I have your attention? I know whenever I go through hardship, that I always need to dial it back in. And there's like a voice inside of my head where it's like, okay, I need to make sure. Like I need to, every time I stand at a funeral, every time I do a wedding, it's like these moments that are seminal moments in your life where you just have to like, are my priorities right? Is God trying to use these things to get my attention? I imagine as Jonah's falling through the air and then he's swallowed, he has to be thinking, God is trying to get my attention. And I started thinking, like, how far is God willing to go to get our attention? And I think he's willing to go as far as he needs to go to get our attention. Here I thought was amazing that God was using this storm that Jonah found himself in to write God's incredible story. And I think that this storm that we are in right now, the corona well, that God has the opportunity to take this storm and allow his church to write another chapter in God's incredible redemptive story. And so as you are watching this online, I want you to know that you're going to have an opportunity during this time of unprecedented crisis, that the crisis is almost like a crucible. And the crucible, all it can do is refine out the impurities. It refines out what our priorities, what our values, what are the most important things. And so I ask you to consider, if you feel like you're going through the storm right now, if you're feeling fearful or you're feeling afraid, then maybe God is trying to get our attention, and maybe this is a great opportunity to reevaluate our priorities. God appointed this huge fish, and what I found is that there is no greater giver of perspective than pain. Have you ever noticed that? Is that, you know, people, I heard a preacher say one time, until the pain outweighs the pleasure, a person won't change. And I have found that to be 100% true. Coach Span, when you're coaching your kids, is that true? Is there a reason why you run them when they don't do the right things? Yes, absolutely. Every coach in the world, whenever you don't obey, you run. Pain works. And so it causes us to get our attention, to refocus. And so here is Jonah in the midst of this appointed fish, and now God has his attention, and now he's feeling pain. And now that pain is a moment where I get to reflect and say, do I need to change my perspective on some things? I was thinking about this. What do we do when we're going through this pain? How do we approach it? Because if this is the first time you've ever felt like this in your life, I think that you need to know, like, what is God's process for going through this pain? And I think that it's going to sound simple. It's going to sound very basic, elementary even. But I think prayer is where I would start if I ever found myself in pain. And you know what Jonah spent all of chapter 2 doing? He was praying. God said, do I have your attention? And he's like, yes, sir, you do. And he's like, okay, where do I need to start? I need to pray. I need to go through the process of prayer. And in Jonah chapter 2, it starts off with this, verse 1. Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from inside the fish. Now, if the fish is what was the culmination of the pain, then he's not praying from outside the pain. He's not even praying for relief from the pain. It says that he's praying inside the pain. So if we were in the midst of a storm and God was trying to write a story, I think that our prayer is usually going to be like, God, get me out of this pain. But I think that we should start praying from inside it, not when it's gone. And I think that if we start praying from inside the pain, boy, it might open us up to a completely different perspective. That God might not always cause us to prevent or to avoid pain. He might give us the grace to endure pain. Isn't it great that we have a God that can give us peace in the middle of the pain, can give us comfort when we're grieving? He can give us calm even when we're fearful. He prayed inside the pain. Pain ends up being an unexpected, uncomfortable vehicle, right? Because here he was sailing away from the port at Joppa, heading toward Tarshish, heading away from Nineveh, and all of a sudden the fish comes up and swallows him, and now the fish, the pain, is a vehicle, and so it becomes the transportation that is going to be the transformation inside of Jonah's attitude. And so God is able to take pain and give us perspective, and then it becomes the transportation from which we ultimately experience the transformation from having one perspective about our direction to now God is getting us back on track with our purpose. Consider this for a moment. Whenever Jonah went inside the fish, he lost all of his freedom, didn't he? He couldn't just move now. He couldn't just go where he wants to go, do what he wants to do. He lost vision. It was dark. There wasn't any light inside that fish. He lost his freedom. He lost his vision. It was unexpected. It was inconvenient. He was ill-equipped. There was unprecedented. There was no one that had ever been thrown overboard and swallowed into a fish before. There hasn't been anyone since. So how in the world could he have been prepared for this moment that was unprecedented? As I started looking at Jonah's story, I kind of started thinking, like, this sounds a lot like our culture. Do you guys see any parallels? All of a sudden, I feel like I've lost my freedom. Like, my mobility, I feel like I got to think every moment. Like, I got to think, like, okay, do I go? Do I not go? Do we buy? Do we not buy? Do we have service? Not have service? I mean, everything in our life right now has been impacted by this storm. Vision. I don't feel like I can see clearly how this ends. Does anyone in here feel like you know how this ends? Does anyone out there, do you feel like you know how this ends? Man, I think that I see myself more than ever in the story of Jonah. What in the world do we do when we say to ourselves, I can't believe this is happening, and I don't know how it ends? Jonah chapter 2 gives us all the answers. Verse 2, he says, I called to the Lord in my distress, and he answered me. I cried out for help in the belly of Sheol, and you heard my voice. The God of all comfort. I called and he answered. I cried and he heard. For anyone that is stressing out right now, for anyone who is experiencing anxiety, for anyone who is going through all of these emotions right now, I want you to know that the same process of prayer that got Jonah back on track is available to us, that if we would cry out to him, he promises that he'll hear. He promises that he will answer. Doesn't it feel good to know that you have a God that's listening? That he absolutely 100% wants to know all the worries that you have right now. And even though we don't know how it ends, we have a God that we can trust in. That he's going to give us the exact word at the exact time that we need. Jonah chapter 2 goes on to say this. It says, you threw me into the depths, into the heart of the seas. There's a little bit of like blaming God. Rightfully so. You threw me into the depths, into the heart of the seas, and the current overcame me. All your breakers and your billows swept over me. But I said, I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look once more towards your holy temple. The waters engulfed me, and they were up to my neck. The watery depths overcame me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. I sank to the foundations of the mountains. The earth with its prison bars closed behind me forever, but you raised my life from the pit, Lord my God. And the church said, amen. Oh gosh, I found some similarities in the story of Jonah this week. Prayer will return you to the right path. If you want to get back on the right path, if you want to get out of the fear and find your faith, if you would allow this pain to repurpose you and reposition you, if you would allow this uncomfortable, unexpected vehicle to be the transportation that God is going to take you to a complete transformation of attitude, because I don't know about you, but I think a lot of people right now are thinking as they're quarantined inside of their houses, man, how do we do family? Have we forgotten how to do family? People are thinking like, oh no, the church isn't meeting. Does that mean we don't have church? As if church is a building? No. How do I do, how am I going to, my finances I found are so fragile. And all of the institutions I'm finding to be insecure. If I put my faith in my finances, did I just find out how fragile that is? Oh my gosh. I hate to say it, but maybe the corona well has some unintended blessings. Maybe there's some things that we can reflect on. In the prayer process, we know that when we cry, he's going to answer and he's going to hear, but also he gives us the next proactive thing to do. He said, I looked to the temple one more time. Oh man, I was just thinking about Joe. It says that he would, like the water. Have you ever been like where you were kind of struggling in water? I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where like either someone was dunking you or just maybe you swam out too far. I've been in that situation where it's like a little bit of like, you kind of like bubbled under. One time I was in this ocean and I was a little bit hubris in my attitude and I thought I was going to be all right. And this wave hit me and flipped me. We were bodyboarding. And next thing you know, I swallowed a bunch of water. And I literally thought, I almost drowned in like 4 foot of water. Like, how is that humanly possible? I was like, ugh! And I like gave myself a timeout. That's what I did. I was like, Tim, you are in timeout. I was like, yes, you are. And so I walked up and I laid on the beach for like an hour. I was like, you better calm down. There's Jonah sinking. And it says the water was up to his neck. And he said in the midst of all of the pain, he said in the midst of all of the insecurity, he said in the midst of all the fear and all the darkness that he was inside of, he said, though I feel like I've been banished, I think I better look one more time. I better look at God one more time. I better look to the place where I know there's an answer, where I know there's hope, where I know there's freedom, where I know there's peace, where I know there's grace for my guilt. And Jonah caused this pain. We didn't cause the corona well, but yet we're in it. And so the principle remains, what do we do inside of this pain? We pray. And maybe the skeptic that's sitting out there right now, maybe the atheist that's sitting out there right now, maybe the believer that once walked away from church and has given up, maybe during this time you would look one more time and consider God. Maybe for the believer right now who all of a sudden had their world turned upside down, maybe your job is on the line. Maybe your job is putting you in compromising situations where you're having this crisis of, do I do it? Do I not? Do I protect? Do I? All I can tell you is, maybe you should consider what God wants one more time. One more time before you decide. Look at Him one more time. Maybe there's an answer there that's waiting for you. And maybe it took this unexpected vehicle, maybe it took this pain to deliver you to a place where you reconsidered your purpose. He said, I will look once more. And then He wraps it. He says, I sank to the bottom, but You raised my life from the pit. I bet every person sitting in this room and every person that is watching online knows exactly what it's like to be at the bottom. Anybody? And the church said, you know what it's like. I mean, glub, 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 sinking. You feel like you can't get a grasp. You can't get a grip. No matter what you do, you're sinking, you're sinking, you're sinking, you're sinking. And there is Jonah, and he's trying to find the bottom. And as he's crying out in prayer, he has no idea how this is going to end. He keeps saying to himself, I can't believe that this is happening to me. When is this ride going to end? When is it going to stop? And he says, I think I've been banished, but yet I'll look once more. And then God's, oh gosh, even though I was in the bottom of the pit, God raised up my life. Everyone in here, if you've called upon Jesus, knows what it's like to be at the bottom and to God raise your life up again. Only God can do that. Only God can take you from where you used to be to where you are now. Only God can repurpose your worst rebellion. Jonah was running in the wrong direction, rebelling against God, and now he's repurposing his rebellion in order to write another chapter in the story. And he had to use a storm to do it. Fret not, church. Fret not, church. Though we are living in uncertain times, we have a God who knows the end from the beginning. And His truth is an anvil that has worn out many hammers, many epidemics, many crises, many times when it looked like the world was going to lose to evil in the past. And yet, the church and the truth, they remain. You might feel like you're sinking to the bottom, but if you would look once more, what if in the midst of this storm, in the midst of this pain, you could call upon a God who would raise your life from the pit again? And even though you might be in it, you would feel different about it. And that is the hope we have in Jesus Christ. Would you let me pray for you right now? Would you guys bow your heads? Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that You take this time, this story of Jonah, and even though God has written thousands of years ago, isn't it amazing how timeless God's truth is? That maybe there's someone sitting out there who doesn't even go to church, And yet, as a result of them hearing this word, they have the opportunity to look to God, to look to God's word and find hope, find joy. Pain is not supposed to be the destination. It is just the transportation. He didn't intend for you to stop in pain. He didn't intend for you to stop in fear. Allow it to do its work. Allow it to transform you. And I promise you, as a believer, you'll find a place of hope. You'll find a place of courage and strength. Church, the world is watching. The world is looking. This is our time to be the light. This is our time to give them hope. This crucible is cracking open our church, and we're going to find out what's inside. Are we going to sacrifice? Are we going to share? Are we going to give? Or are we going to recluse, retreat, hoard, and think about ourselves? I know what Jesus would do. Jesus would give. Jesus would share. And if he ran out, guess what? He could make some more. Fret not, church. Fret not. He has already overcome. Let's stand and let's worship him. Oh my gosh, this is how we fight these battles. Let's go.